And it's time on America's Web Radio for Medicine on Call. And we've got Dr. Elena George on the line. Dr. George, how are you doing this morning?
I'm fine. How about you?
Well, I'm hanging in there for an old man. That's about all I can say. No, everything's fine. We're glad to have you. It looks like we're going to get a little rain towards the weekend, maybe, and clean up some of the junk that's in the air. Wish it would clean up some of the junk in Washington, D.C.
Well, you know, I've been getting a lot of questions about how you can fight Obamacare, and there's been just a ton of things about the funding and depending on Congress. I've really taken the attitude now that if you really want something to be done, we as Americans have to do it ourselves. This Obamacare, this fiasco is playing out exactly the way I thought it would, unfortunately. Now they've taken to lies and intimidation. First it was just cajoling, you know, painting a rosy picture of how fabulous it was going to be. Now that people know what to expect and it's coming out, now they're resorting to really just complete fabrications, whole cloth lies. But Catherine Sebelius made a comment about how people who enter the exchange can hope to pay, I think she said may pay, $100 a month for health insurance. That's never going to happen. I mean, it's just making things up now to try to push this thing through. And it's really obvious that the only way this is going to survive is if people enter the exchange. They've done everything at this point to try and break the system so that people have nowhere else to go. And if you look at this mandate, the delays of the mandate, the 19 delays, they're all designed to passively make employers drop coverage for their employees, have people believe they're going to get subsidies without having to check their records, you know, their IRS files or anything like that, trying to use the MTV generation with the celebrities to make it cool for young people to join. And it's just it's a sink. It's a sinkhole, basically. Once everybody enters the system and they've got nowhere else to go because they can't go back to where they were, then the government gets to implement single payer. I'm convinced of this. It's just desperate at this point to try to make people do it. And I think the mantra for the next 2 weeks should be, don't join the exchange. You know, starve the beast. You only have to pay $97 as a fee if you don't join. I think most people who are healthy can afford that, and that's going to be a heck of a lot cheaper than paying up to $15,000 a year and ending up getting nothing.
You know, if hopefully people are like we are, we got our insurance, and the state of Georgia is under a bit different situation in that 650,000 people in Georgia now, it's a $3 billion tab, but 650,000 people in Georgia are being told what they can their new insurance policy will be. You don't have a choice of companies. It's one company, period. Mm-hmm. Blue Cross Blue Shield. But
great.
My insurance went up 33%, and prescription coverage is almost to the point of being a joke. But as people start getting their bills, how would you describe these people? Like you said, Sebelius, Obama, obviously, and he's still preaching it. You can have the same coverage. You can still have your doctor. It's going to lower the rates. What is that called? What term is that medically about a person that just lies? there's not a truthful word comes out of the guy's mouth.
Well, it's not just him. It's Congress as well.
Oh, yeah, it's all
the people
of them
who went up there, physicians too, who went up to Congress and now want to play ball because they want to be friends with everybody. And it's all about money. It's just what I'm going to put it plainly. There's so much money flowing up towards Capitol Hill that their masters are the people who provides their or pays their pocket. It's not us. We are an afterthought. This is not new. This has been going on since the TARP situation, when Americans were basically said, called up to Congress and said, don't pass this. And they did it anyway. And it's not just, it's only time I've seen this work now is when people were up in arms about going to war with Syria. It's finally pulled them back from the brink, I hope. But it's not that they listen to us. You know, it's they believe that we have short-term memory, that we basically will keep the status quo because it's easy for us or we're not paying attention. And you answer the question why they lied, because they feel that we don't paying attention. It's all about distractions, whatever that is, Hollywood distractions, you know, race baiting. You name the level of distractions. It's everything to keep your eye off the ball, to look at the bright, shiny thing and not follow what's really going on. But there's going to be a wake-up call. Some cold water is going to be thrown in Americans' faces as of October 1st when they have to, well, when they're cajoled into joining these exchanges. They're not what they said they are. You've said in Georgia there's only one. It's pretty much the same thing in all these exchange states. Insurance companies have fled the system. UnitedHealthcare left the one in California. Oregon has, I think, one, maybe two players in their exchange. And it's not about free market. It's all about cronies and what they got paid and, you know, pay to play, basically. And we're the victims of this system. And ultimately, down the road, you will not be able to keep the doctor that you had, because they'll either be working for a hospital and have to pay homage to them, they'll be out of business, or they basically, if they're smart, will not take any insurance at all and will go back to practicing medicine using the Hippocratic Oath. It's going to be a two-tier system. It already is a two-tier system, because those in Congress and the government who are lucky enough to get subsidized, you know, up to 70%, of their premiums while we pay for them are going to be able to opt out of the system. Oh, I say that we opt out before the system gets rolling.
I couldn't agree with you more. If you have that option,
you do have that option. Don't join the exchange. That is your option.
That's true.
I mean, the fact that they say that you're mandated to do it, well, technically, they can't put you in jail. They can only fine you $97. And the way the system is working, I'm not sure they'll even know who's actually in the system, because it's a disaster. Did you hear that one insurance company, I think it's an insurance company, no, some navigator for an exchange sent information to a broker who was, you know, getting set up to learn how to administer it, and they ended up sending people's social security numbers unencrypted by email to this guy. Can you imagine how many times you could expect something like that to happen? And what kind of hacker is going to get involved, siphon off the information of your social security number, your ACH banking information for electronic debits, your telephone number, where you live? I can just imagine how this is going to play out. And it's not going to be good.
You know, the ineptness of our system today is it's showing up everywhere, and it's just incredible. And I worry that we have gone past the point of being able to turn around and do anything. I don't know.
I don't see it that way. When we, the people, stand up and start putting our backbones in this and saying we're done, then they back down. This happens if we actually are consistent and enough of us do this. All they want is to get back into power. All they want is the opportunity to make more money with their deals, and we're the people that provide the fodder for that. If we stop providing the fuel for this fire, it will go out. And these people will be removed. All they're about is control. This is all about control, whether it's controlling your child's ability to have a vaccine or not, your child's ability to go to a school that actually teaches them something. instead of indoctrinates them, the ability to have a job that pays you what you're worth, not what the government says is fair. I mean, the list is endless, but if we still play into the system of being taken care of, having the government do everything, then this is what we're going to expect. They're going to run our lives from cradle to grave.
They are certainly aimed in that direction. And just like we were talking, you look at who's supposedly going to run it, the IRS. I'm not sure they could run a tricycle at this point.
Yeah. But they're going to try.
Yeah. I got a deal from the IRS that I hadn't filed a 941, which you know what that is. And so they had penalized me $65.43 for not filing. So I went to my county's, we'll fight it, and I said, $65, it's just not worth it. I'll just send them a check. So I sent them a check. 2 months later, I get a notification from them that I've overpaid them $65.43 and that they are going to credit it to my account.
That's great.
How can they be that stupid? Other than the people that they have it's gotten so far out of hand size-wise that they don't know whether they're coming or going. And I think we're going to see this. We're seeing it with the immigration bill. We're seeing it, obviously, with Obamacare. And, you made the most important point, and that is that the individual has to take care of themselves.
It comes down to personal responsibility.
Absolutely.
Everywhere. Not just in healthcare, but everywhere. To make personal choices that are going to push you forward, not make you more beholden to the government. If simple things. I think about this as a big picture kind of thing. Our whole economy is built on people buying things. It's about consumerism. Well, maybe if we hadn't tried to get cheap garbage from China, we'd actually have people who still are employed in this country making a decent wage. It was the stampede towards the cheapest iteration of whatever it is, now without thinking about it, that got us into this situation. You cannot get something for nothing. Things have to be, there's a value placed on everything. For me, as a physician, people wanted to go to the cheapest health care, the cheapest copay, go to the physician extender that was perceived to be less expensive than seeing an MD or a specialist. This is what you get, all right? You get what you pay for. If you expect to get quality services, quality medicine, quality goods, then you have to pay for people who actually care about what they do. And if you cheapen the system and you start rewarding crap, this is what you're going to get. So for those folks who think that Obamacare, single payer, is the answer to everything, I ask them to look at Medicaid and Medicare and see where this is going to go. It's all about cheapest services, the cheapest medication, the least intervention, because it's all about cost saving for the government. They don't care about you. They care about the bottom line and keeping money in the government and having it come into the government. That's the bottom line. Anybody who thinks the government loves them is insane. Truly.
Absolutely.
My diagnosis, Dave.
That's
what it would be. It'd be insanity.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Medicine on Call with Dr. Elena George right after this.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that throat itching and tickling, nasal itching, eye itching, skin itching, eczema, and hives are all signs of allergy? A person suffering from allergy does not always have sneezing and a runny nose. If you have noticed that these symptoms are always present year-round, you may have allergies to what you are eating. Foods such as wheat, eggs, dairy products, and corn are present in most foods. Corn in particular is present in most processed foods and soft drinks in the form of high fructose corn syrup. Completely removing these foods from your diet for at least 2 months can, in some cases, stop the symptoms. Keeping a food diary or getting tested for food allergies is the fastest way to find out what foods are causing your symptoms. If you think you have a food allergy, it is important to see a doctor who specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of allergy. By rotating the food into the diet once every 2 weeks, allergies can be controlled and you can still eat the food.
Hi, this is Kate Copsey inviting you to listen year-round to America's Homegrown Veggie Show every Saturday at 10 a.m.
For years, Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center has been providing outstanding care to patients of all ages. They are dedicated to patient satisfaction and have been the recipient of the Georgia Otolaryngology Association Patient Satisfaction Award. They welcome any questions you may have about their services. Their practice includes treatment of asthma, allergies, sleep apnea, snoring, hearing impairments, and chronic sinus disease. Dr. Elena George is a board-certified ear, nose, and throat surgeon. Her training in New York has included training at Manhattan Eye, Ear, and Throat Hospital and Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. She believes in practicing both the art and science of medicine. All patients are seen by Dr. George. All treatment options are discussed, and time will be spent to answer all questions. Their office is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, you can be confident that you are in good hands with their professional team.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I think we were, before the break, just trying to give an overview of how we got to this place. I always look at the bigger picture because there's always something bigger going on, and they want you to look at the small, you know, the what's in front of you, instead of looking at the actual forest. I've said this on many times on my show. I think Obamacare is about control, and everything that they're doing is designed to get into your psyche, to get into your play on your fear, to learn things about you that basically should be between you and your physician. Now, I don't know if you read this article. It was in the New York Post, that under Obamacare, they're going to start asking you about your sex life. I don't know if you've heard about that.
Oh, yeah. We talked about it Monday, I think it was.
Well, I mean, the only thing that I found that they reversed was they could ask you whether or not you had a gun in your home, but Congress did change that, and that got excised from the bill, or the law, I should say. But just think about these invasive, why do they need to know that? Why do they need to know, why would your cardiologist or your ENT or anybody who's not your GYN or urologist basically need to know these questions? And please keep in mind that anything that enters an electronic medical record becomes potentially public knowledge. It only needs to be sent unencrypted to the wrong person. These navigators who are not doctors, who are trained for, 40 hours, a weekend training, they're going to have access to your information. And by the way, they do not have to undergo background checks, just like TSA. So you have government workers, government contractors, who they know nothing about. And people like Planned Parenthood are one of these navigators that have been awarded money to implement Obamacare. I don't know about you, but I don't want my personal information being viewed by any of these types of people. It's supposed to be between the doctor and the patient.
Dr. George, as we were talking the other day, the onus is on the doctor, too.
Absolutely.
If I refuse to fill in the blank, where does the fight begin?
Well, you won't get paid. First it's the carrot, then it's the stick. First they promise doctors they're going to get $44,000 in I don't know if it's tax returns, or you can write it off if you actually implement electronic medical records in your office. That was about 3 or 4 years ago. Then it became voluntary, meaningful use. That means asking these personal invasive questions in order to get money back from the government, a special dispensation, because you were getting health information. So it was kind of, someone, you got, it's pay to play again, basically. Now in 2015, if you don't use it, if you don't answer these questions, you won't get reimbursed from Medicare.
Well, okay, but so, as a patient, if I say take a flying leap, I'm not answering that.
Well, that's what you should do. Nobody can make you answer these questions. This is my point. Patients have many more rights than they think they do. They can choose not to answer.
So is there a place for the doctor then to say patient would not answer?
Well, I'd put it in. I'd write it in if there wasn't a place. You know, you put in your note. Question asked, patient refused to answer in the note section that you can freehand type in. But it's about the doctors not being, you know, wards of the state. You know, it's like you become an agent of the government. And first they ask you to do it. You know, it seems pretty benign. Then they make you do it. And down the road, who says it won't be criminal not to do it? You know, I don't know. But the bottom line is it's a noose that can only get tightened as time goes on. And those that refuse to play the game won't be allowed to play. I mean, this is, it's a control grid. In order for it to work, you have to coerce people to be in it. You can't have outliers because it won't run. You won't have enough money to run the system. You won't have enough doctors to provide the so-called care. You won't have hospitals that are places that can, that be the proving grounds for this. So you have to make people do it, and it's going to be onerous. It's just a matter of time. And there's no way, I've never seen the government become more lenient about things. Usually it's more controlling, more demanding, more compliance, and if you don't comply, you know, it's going to be a fine or it's going to be jail, one or the other, or tax. That's how this is working. It's not about health care.
As I was leaving this morning, I generally try to at least fly by one of the Fox generally to see if we're in war or something. And one of the stories that they were going to report on, and I couldn't stay and wait, was that now the government is forcing businesses, larger businesses obviously, to spy on their employees. And they were going to be doing a story on it, and I couldn't stay to wait and see when they were going to do it. But this is everything, and it's amazing to me. And it's your medical records, your financial records. It's and we know that once they get them, like the NSA, they're not going to keep them private. But they shouldn't have them to begin with.
Oh, agreed. But knowledge is power. Once you have knowledge about someone's private information, then you basically have them. And there's no reason for, you know, it's guilty until proven innocent. It's like the Napoleonic Code, not American law. You know, so doctors are guilty before proven innocent by their ability to code, you know, what they put on their coding. And you're looking over your shoulder constantly. They've actually, at some point, wanted to have patients hire, I'm sorry, I think they were actors. They were supposed to go to doctor's offices and try to put them in a position where they were, you know, committing a crime, so they can be, you know, shut down. It's just, your government's not your friend at this point, and they're not trying to be. They're paying lip service to it, and they have the same game that's going on. If you question it, something's wrong with you. You're anti-American, you're a terrorist, you're racist, you're homophobic, whatever the label they can slap on you to silence you is how they're operating. I mean, we're seeing this now in the government. I don't know if you read this, too, that David Vitter, the congressman from Louisiana, has a bill out that, again, will try to make Congress accountable and actually start to be under the yoke of Obamacare, where they're not going to get their subsidies. And the Democrats decided that they were going to punish any congressman who votes for this by taking away their subsidies for the health care bill. Or I'm sorry, it was just like painting a scarlet letter on somebody. It's coercion. Isn't that a crime? You know, to if you don't do it my way, then I'm going to come after you. And they're just naked about it. It's unbelievable.
I think we've seen this. You know, if the NSA and other branches of the government, IRS and all the rest of the alphabets, know about you and me. Don't you know that they know when you eat your Cheerios if you're in Congress? And I think this extortionist administration, I don't know how much. I can't prove anything I'm saying, but it's amazing the people that have gone to Congress and have all of a sudden switched horses in the middle of the stream or become rhinos or become wimps instead of standing up like they said they were going to. And I honestly believe that many of them have been put under the gun. Yes, they like money. Yes, they like to be reelected. But I also think that pressure has been put on, or easily could have been put on. Maybe that's a better way of saying it. Let me ask, we've talked about this many, many times. Because of, you know, the reality is coming to pass. Today is the 18th, so we're basically 12 days away from Obamacare really kicking in. Are the doctors beginning to, you know, I know they've been hurt. I know a lot of them know they're going to be hurt. But and we've talked about a lot of them being sheep themselves. Do you feel like there's any movement there that's getting started to rebel against what's going on?
Unfortunately, I can't say that I feel that overall. I mean, I have to say I don't really have a lot of contact anymore with hospital-based doctors. We just run in different circles. And I know that the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons, AAPS, the members there have been proactive. Those that have, you know, done their pricing transparently, that you can actually see it on their websites, those who are taking fee-for-service and actually have dropped their rates to, you know, flat fees to make it affordable for their patients. I mean, they've decided quickly, and I think rightly so, to try to opt out of the system because it's never going to work. And it really puts you, I wouldn't be able to sleep at night knowing that I was responsible for denying somebody care. Whether I'm coerced to do it, mandated to do it, I still have a choice. I'm a human being. I'm an individual. I have ethics and I have morals, and I signed and swore to an oath, a Hippocratic oath that supersedes what Congress is going to try to make me do. I'll never do it. And I think they're, at least the people that I know, all feel that way.
That's good. Let's stop here, take our second break. We'll be back with more Medicine on Call with Dr. Elena George right after this.
Have you heard of quantitative fluid analysis? Commonly called QFA, this test assesses your body at a cellular level and gives insight into your illness. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center offers the QFA, an FDA-approved test that can often provide early diagnosis of conditions before they can be detected with other tests. Dr. Elena George believes in an integrative approach to medicine. She believes in treating the problem and not the symptom. Following a review of your results, Dr. George will suggest treatment approaches such as nutritional counseling and or the use of pharmaceutical-grade enzymes and nutritional supplements. Surgery and prescription medication will be recommended only when necessary. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Call their office at 404-591-9100 to make an appointment and mention that you heard this ad on Radio Sandy Springs and get 10% off of QFA testing.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know skipping doses of medication can be dangerous? If you have a chronic medical condition like diabetes or high blood pressure, it's important to take the medication prescribed by your physician. It is also important to remember that although you take a medicine to treat a condition, it is not a cure for the underlying medical condition. It is used to control it. For example, taking medication for diabetes will lower your blood sugar. However, if you stop taking the medication, the sugar will rise again. Changes in both diet and lifestyle, like adding exercise to your routine, are equally important. Working with your physician by following his or her recommendations is the key to controlling your disease and maintaining your health. Ask questions if you don't understand something. Taking control of your health is the key to wellness. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we're back with Dr. Elena George and Medicine on Call. We were talking about the doctors, and you had brought up a point while we were off during the break, and we're going to get back on that, I think.
Well, you know, my basic thought was that they're trying their darndest. You ask how doctors are doing, but they're really trying their darndest to make it a very stark choice for us. Either we play ball with them, we join hospital-based practices, we become employees of hospitals, we become satellites of these accountable care organizations, and we like it, or stop practicing medicine altogether. At this point, they haven't taken away our ability to take fee-for-service, but there's movements afoot to make it harder to become licensed, keep your license, keep your board certification, and practice medicine. There's something called, and we talked about it before, maintenance of certification. I'm a board-certified surgeon, ENT. I passed my boards the first time I took it back in 1998. Once you pass your boards, it's a two-day, one's a written, 5 hours, the other's an oral. Once you pass those, then you're board certified for the life of your practice. They're trying to reverse that and make you have to maintain your certification, your board certification, about every, some people every 2 years, some people every 5 years. The point is, they're trying to say that your knowledge base is null and void after 16, 17, 18 years of practice. But really what it's about is control and money. And the American medical boards, the specialty societies, are all in bed, just like the AMA. So they've made these, you know, artificial hoops that we have to jump through, pay mucho money to recertify. And the hospitals have gotten on board trying to say to patients that if your doctor doesn't have a maintenance of certification, then there's something wrong with your doctor. It's complete restriction of trade. It is, again, another example of pay-to-play, which is the, I guess, the mantra for this government and the society at this point. And it's a way to lock people out who actually are free thinkers. A lot of people I know, not a lot, but it's a growing number, who have decided to leave medicine and no longer do these maintenance certifications because they're so prohibitive and onerous. You spend your time raising money to take the test, studying for the test, waiting for the next round of testing to happen, then you're out of the loop of what's going on with your practice. You know, again, you're so distracted that you can't pay attention to what's going on. That's what they want for us.
Just
put your head down, shut up, and do what we're told. And unfortunately, doctors are being coerced into doing that.
We have another doctor that does a show here and was talking about exactly what you're talking about, and she had to go. And who's given these tests? Is it the state or the...
No, it's the specialty boards.
Okay, well...
We have to pay them.
Okay.
So they're making a lot of money on this.
Because she was telling us, I think she had to take it last week sometime, and what she was saying, though, is just incredible. It may be the specialty board, but like she was saying, they go back and ask you questions from your internship almost. And she said, you know, my practice is such, I don't suture anybody. I don't,
right.
You know, I'm not giving physicals. I'm not, you know, and yet they're going to ask questions that have nothing to do with her specialty.
Oh, absolutely. It's outside the scope of your practice most of the time. So it's not if you're an ear, nose, and throat. There's specialists within ear, within nose, and within throat. If they ask me plastic surgery questions and I'm an otologist, which means a specialist, super specialist that only does ear, that's a really hard thing to have to go back, relearn actually maybe learn for the first time in some cases, in order to maintain your licensure. You can be a professor, an expert in your field, but you run the risk of losing your board certification status because of some arbitrary, ridiculous money-making scheme that the specialty boards have come up with. They are not our allies either. They are working against us just like the AMA is. And until doctors, and I think there's a growing number, and it actually happened in Ohio, the doctors there got together, went to the Medical Board of Ohio and said, we're not doing it. Don't even try it. And they backed down. And that's my point. Anytime a quorum of people get up and stand up and start saying, we're not going there with you, it stops. You know, it's us being, you know, giving the ball to these people and saying, I trust them to do the right thing. They are not doing the right thing. They have never chosen the right thing through this entire healthcare scheme. It was all about politics, and it still is about politics. The Democrats are doubling down. The Republicans are too afraid to move left or right because they might be seen as the obstructionists and not get in the next time around. Forget about the next time. Why not do the right thing now if this thing gets implemented completely? There's so many broken parts of the system. It's like an octopus. You cannot undo what it's already done. And I'm going to give you an example. There's an article that talks about hospitals, and I was surprised about this. Hospitals are shutting down. They are letting go staff. They're not hiring because of Obamacare tenants. Again, they thought they were going to get something from it, 30 million more people, more money in Medicare, more money in their trust fund. They're going to just have a free-for-all. But in actuality, the government double-dealed them. And what they have is, you can't, if you readmit a patient within 31 days, the hospital won't be paid. They've gone to bundling hospitals. And what that means is that if you come in with a certain diagnosis, the government will give you an X amount of money, no more, for treating that patient. So if that patient is a complication, that patient stays in longer, that patient uses more services and supplies, the hospital takes a hit and loses money. But they thought, hey, we're going to get a lump sum of money. We're going to keep the patients in for as little as possible, maybe not admit them at all, and we'll keep the cash. Well, it's not working out that way. And I've heard from people who are looking for jobs in healthcare that there aren't any. So there are people coming out of these schools for phlebotomy and for medical assistants and blah, blah, blah. They're not really getting jobs like they thought they would. Doctors aren't hiring. Hospitals are laying off. And the system is completely broken under Obamacare. But you know who's probably winning is the government, making buku money, saving, quote-unquote, fraud and abuse money, but really means denying care to patients. That's the future.
You know, the other day we were talking that thank God for the Internet, and hopefully it'll stay up, and programs like yours that are telling the truth, telling people what's going on. We obviously don't have the listenership that the mainstream media has, but at least the truth's being told. If we didn't have the Internet, I should say, you're not hearing this on mainstream media. You're not hearing anything bad. It's all how wonderful everything's going to be and the lies that the politicians are telling. And yet it's...
Because there's no doctors. I'm going to tell you why. Because there's no doctors practicing medicine on mainstream media talking at all. It never was that way. It's just maddening to see policy wonks and blog, you know, talking heads talking about how Obamacare is going to roll out when they have no idea what it means to sit in a room with a patient and really talk to them about what their options are healthcare-wise and or their lack of. I'm fighting now with an insurance company for a week to do a procedure that has to be pre-certified. I've called the pre-certification, you know, line, hotline, left a message 3 or 4 times. The case is Thursday. I'm going to have to tell my patient I can't do it because they refuse to even call me back. And this is a quote-unquote peer review where I have to talk to a physician who's probably not even an ENT to get his approval to do a case where the patient's been suffering with headaches and sinus infections for years. There's nothing. This patient's the one on the outside looking in. He's tried every medicine known to man. What we need to do is to fix the problem, which would be fixed within an hour and a half in my office. But Blue Cross Blue Shield, and I'm going to call them out, won't even deign to call me back. That's, if Blue Cross and Blue Shield does that, can you imagine when it becomes a single payer and I have to be on the hotline with Medicare or the government with their phone shriek? I can only imagine how awful that is going to be. And let me tell you, under Obamacare, when they say no, I can't kick it up to somebody who's higher. I'm going to go to the healthcare czar, who has the final say-so. Hopefully it's a doctor, but you know it's not going to be an ENT, or if it's a urologist, or whatever the specialty is trying to get help for their patient. That person is all about the government. That is who their master is. It's not the patient. It's the government. And they're mutually exclusive. There is no way that if it came down, we saw this already with Catherine Sebelius and that child who needed the lung transplant. Under her, because she was shamed into doing it, but before people started standing up, here we go, the same theme, standing up, making their voice heard about how horrible it was, she was going to let this child die and say, basically, tough.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen. People think it's going to be any different than that? No.
The death panels are in place. You can call them whatever you want, but they're there. And, the public, doctors, everybody has to unite and get the word and stand up, just like you said. Now, if this patient were to pay you directly, there's no restriction on that, I assume.
No, there isn't at all. And, unfortunately... Well, I don't know. I mean, I would give a discount based on a fee for service or, a scaled rate, basically. That would be something that we could possibly do. But I don't know what his financial situation is. And you know what? He's paying more money in premiums that's just sitting there in the insurance company's coffers where he has to beg for them to provide him services. There's something intrinsically wrong with that. If you pay for your health care, then you should own your health care dollar. And you should decide how it gets portioned. That should be your decision, not some pencil pusher. And
absolutely.
Under Obamacare, that pencil pusher now will become the government. That's a big entity to try to fight back against. I don't think it's going to work. And the people under Medicare and Medicaid are living under this yoke and have been, getting denied treatment, getting the cheapest medication, getting the stuff that doesn't work. That's one of the reasons that I left Medicaid initially years ago, was because I needed to write prescriptions for patients for antibiotic or for reflux or for something that was going to work, and they would not allow it under their formulary at all.
That's
then you coupled the fact with they never paid. So you do the service, you get it pre-certified, and then they would never pay you. Those two things together were just impossible to stay with Medicaid. And Medicare was a little bit different. It was about, I was a criminal until proven otherwise. We ran the risk of audits for no reason. And when they audit you, they don't come to your office. They just remove your money electronically. They just decide without contacting you that they overpaid something, and then next thing you know, it's whisked out of your account. And if you were audited, they actually physically came to your office. That was equal to being shut down because they were, again, finding you guilty until proven innocent. And under Eric Holder's administration, they really went after, quote-unquote, fraud and abuse with $25,000 fines, jail time, just for small infractions like not charging enough. And so what they could do, people don't understand, it's not just one patient. They actually take a chart and then say, well, we think you did this in 30% of the patients for the last 5 years, and then they'll attach that as your fee, which could be hundreds of thousands of dollars based on one chart.
That's
the yoke that doctors live under. Who would want to practice medicine like that? It's nobody.
Right. No. We're going to take our last break. We'll be back with more of Medicine on Call right after this.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that dizziness may be a sign of heart disease, iron deficiency, high or low blood pressure, low blood sugar, or an inner ear infection? Dizziness can take the form of a spinning sensation, also known as vertigo, or a feeling of lightheadedness. The individual can also feel faint or have a rapid heartbeat. If you take high blood pressure medication, remember to take the medication daily as directed to control your blood pressure. Diabetics must remember to eat after taking their medication and to eat at regular intervals. If you have anemia, make sure to take a multivitamin that contains iron and to eat vegetables such as spinach. Dizziness after a cold or flu may be due to a virus. If you have dizziness, it is important to see your doctor for a complete physical examination. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
Hi, everybody. It's Don Zabkar, your host for Who Knew? We air Mondays 2 to 3 on America's Web Radio, and then occasionally throughout the week. We've got some great subjects. This administration, or this regime, as you know, is providing us with great material. So stay tuned. Check us out. America's Web Radio. It's Who Knew? With Don Zabkar.
At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, they provide better quality care. They believe that excellent medical care is a right and not a privilege. They are concerned that the current economy has forced people to sacrifice their health. They have therefore reduced their prices to make it more affordable. They will continue to provide state-of-the-art care. They continue to believe that patient care counts above all else. Peachtree ENT Center, concierge medicine without the concierge price. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Call their office at 404-591-9100 to make an appointment or for more information. They are located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest, Suite 260 North Tower, 2 blocks south of Piedmont Hospital.
This is America's Webradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we're back with Dr. Elena George and Medicine on Call. And Dr. George, people don't know this, but we've said it before, and I want to thank you for what you do in telling people the truth and putting the truth out. And we re-air your show, as you know, a number of times, plus it's in a podcast form. People can download it. We've even suggested and had it suggested to us. It wasn't my idea, but people can take this and take it to your coffees, take it to your business presentations or whatever, and play what Dr. George has said. This is information that you're not getting on mainstream media. It's information that there are going to be a lot of folks walk in a doctor's door in the near future and be shocked at what they find out. That your insurance, you pay, just like you were saying, you pay these premiums monthly. It should be yours. You expect to get back, and then they come back and say, well, no, the insurance company has denied this, denied that, and you're responsible for it. Or they hit you with you're responsible for it from the get-go. And,
exactly. But it's the sad part is about this, too, is that it's not based on medicine. It's based on their fiduciary responsibility to their board directors and their stockholders, et cetera. You know, the person that I spoke about, or the patient that I'm speaking about, they denied it based on, quote-unquote, investigational, which is complete ridiculousness, since there's articles, science, bench science, that have already said how effective this procedure is. And to top it off, Medicare covers it, Medicaid covers it, about 5 different other insurance companies cover it. So this is completely arbitrary based on what they want to do. That's the sad part. If it really were about patient care and about getting together with the physician and discussing what's best for the individual patient and then coming to the decision that, hey, this doesn't really work for this case, we're going to deny it, that would be one thing. But it's a one-size-fits-all conveyor belt. Who cares about the quality of life of the patient? Who cares? It's all about our bottom line. We're going to do what we want to do. And technically speaking, if Medicare covers something, then it should be covered by every insurance company, because that's the standard, the gold standard of what is medical necessity. So they're just doing things that are arbitrary. And the fact that they won't call me back is just completely just not only disrespectful, I think it's criminal, frankly. I think it's unethical that they can sit back and just ignore the needs of their subscriber. And ignore the fact that I'm a physician and I, with in concert with the patient, decided that a medical treatment is necessary, medically necessary, and they get to make the final decision. That's what health insurance is, people. It's not health care. It's about insurance companies and, by default, when this all kicks in, the government deciding what's best for you. Or I should say, what's best for them. And you like it or not. That's your business. Come on. People would stop trying to game the system, get something for nothing, expect physicians to basically just work for them in the sense that I don't care what your expertise is. I don't care what your skills are. I don't need to pay you because you're not worth it. And you should be on my beck and call to top it off. What kind of system is that if you would ask a professional to do that? Really think about that for a second. Someone who's controlling life and death in some cases in ICU, a trauma setting. You want them to take pennies on the dollar, get treated like they're dirt, and then smile and say, yes, may I have another. That's not going to happen. The best and the brightest are already leaving. The people who are coming in the healthcare system are being contracted in from other countries, not medical school anymore, from, no nurse practitioners and physician assistants, people who don't have the same level of training, the same time, the same rigorous training, are becoming the front line of healthcare. Once they are the face of healthcare and doctors recede and take the back administrative role, then the system is gone. You'll have years to bring it back. I mean, it's just like the education system. Whatever they're teaching these kids now is what our society is going to be in the future. And it's not something that I'm looking forward to. These people know nothing about history. They don't know math. They can't write. They can't think critically. They just follow orders. Do you really want your doctor to be that kind of person? Because if you fall outside the norm, then you're going to be sent to a hospice or not treated. Or it just boggles my mind what this is going to end up as.
Dr. George, was there ever a time that you would call an insurance company, get in as you called, and get a yes or no and proceed?
That's a good question. Maybe, about 6 or 7 years ago, because when it was managed care, Obamacare is managed care system or template. There was so much volume, you basically just denied everything back in the day. And that's why the system failed, to tell you the truth, because people got tired of gatekeepers and being told no, and they stopped wanting those plans, and they died off. And Obamacare is trying to create something new that's really not, except the only difference is instead of the insurance company being the gatekeeper, now it becomes the government. And you really, and the way they have this set up, because it's mandated, they're trying to set it up so you have nowhere else to go, so that this is the only game in town. That's what they're trying to do. And if they manage to do that, then you're kind of stuck. I'd say break the system before the grid goes into place completely.
The reason I ask that, it would be interesting to have a film crew at your office, a television crew at your office. You call, they say they're going to call you back, and they never call you back. You call again, and you document all this and let the people know, or even if we did it on YouTube, let people know exactly what they're going to be faced with. It's really denial of service when they're not calling you back.
Oh, absolutely. I'm down to 24 hours that I'll have to tell this patient I can't get a pre-certification. We can't do the case. I've been working on it for 7 days, daily, and nothing. The patient's been working on it as well, and he's getting roadblocks. It's disgusting, honestly.
Would he do an interview?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
You know, if it doesn't come through, then I think we should take it public. People have to know this. Me saying it means nothing. You saying it and the person that it's affecting saying it, That means everything.
True.
And, you know, I'd be more than happy to do a you all come out and we'll do an interview and put it on YouTube of what's coming your way, folks.
Well, I think we can still head off the pass, honestly. I mean, as I said, it's about stop. You need to stop this train from running, and that means stop providing the fuel for it. People ask me daily how I would do it, and again, I'm going to repeat it. If you're healthy and you don't have any other medical problems, I would get a catastrophic plan that you have a very large deductible, that you're not paying for all your services up front. I would get a supplemental insurance like Aflac, and that would actually pay me money back in a check form every time I saw the doctor had a procedure done. So you're actually getting paid to actually treat yourself. I would stay away from anything that's managed care. If you have to go to a primary care physician in order to get services, that's the worst place to be, because if you need a specialist, you're going to be managed to death before you actually get sent to the specialist. So that's not a great option. I would not enter an exchange at all. Never. Okay, I'll pay my $97, and at the end of this, the most money that you'll have to pay is about $600, which is still dramatically less than paying $15,000 a year just to carry the insurance if you're an individual, and $21,000 for a family of four. That's an estimate. Under the mandate, you know, delays, they've already told folks that their out-of-pocket is no longer capped. So that may be, $2,000, $6,000, even $10,000 out-of-pocket that they can stick you with that you'll have to pay before the insurance kicks in. So you're actually paying for your own denial of care. If you were to save $300 or, let's say, $50 a week or a month, over time, if you never went to the doctor, there'd be a lot of money that you could actually use for your own health care. The second thing I would do, or the third thing I would do, is stop going to hospital-based practices. Stop going to the emergency room. If you have an emergent or urgent issue, try an urgent care, freestanding, staffed by ER physicians. You're likely to get much better care and faster care and cheaper care in that type of situation than you are to go to an ER, where most of them now are run by PAs with an overseeing emergency doctor who may or may not be emergency medicine board certified. I would go to a doctor who's independent, like I am. I'm not paid by a hospital. I don't have a hospital-based practice that I pay rent to. I'm not a satellite of a hospital, and I control my fees. And if we come in and you make a deal with me, just tell me up front what you have, and we'll work together. And that includes, in my practice, bartering. And I'm not alone. So there are plenty of physicians across the country. I would go to aapsonline.org, look at the list of physicians in your state that actually do fee-for-service, do bartering, have transparency pricing up front, have flat rates. These guys are all board certified. These are the cream of the crop who decided they want to be doctors, not marshals for the government.
Right.
And now start going to those locations. You will break the system, and it'll stop working against you. And you'll have a lot better health care with a lot less money. That's how I would do it.
With that, Dr. George, we have come to the end of the rope, and we will talk to you next week.
All right. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.